I want you to look at me eye to eye and know that God loves you and that He wants to be that Father of all fathers to everyone in this room. Whether you had a good father, a bad father, or no father, never knew your father. If you'll tap into the Heavenly Father, you'll never be alone. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Amen. Can I get a big amen?
Amen?
Can you feel that love from Him this morning, okay? Well, this morning I want you to, we're going to talk about working on a building. You ever heard that song? Working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord.
That's a good song.
That's country. You'd have to be country.
Southern gospel country.
Yeah. I like Marty Raven. He done it. And it's real good. But anyway, talk to you about what are you building? Okay. Better yet, what kind of building are you? So, I got a story, and then we're going to go into some scripture. We'll be over in Matthew 7. You can get your Bibles ready or your phone Bibles, whatever. I got to have a Bible. Something about it. That phone just don't do it for me. I got to have this Bible. Duct tape and all. But we're going to be over there in Matthew 7. Anyone ever have a house built from the ground up? Okay. Yeah, several. All right, not yet. Okay, this goes even for this, okay? All right, so so let's take this in concept here. If you're not married, don't. You will be, okay, we'll believe that. So, here's a story. What if you and your spouse and your, what is the first thing you do when you start planning to build a house?
Get your credit up.
That'll preach.
That'll
Amen.
Preach.
Yeah. Next sermon. Who said that? Zora preaching that one. Okay, get your credit up. Very good. Huh?
Location.
Location, okay. Find the land. All right.
Design. Get an architect. I look for the design first so I know what kind of land to put it on.
Okay. All right. Now, what else? Anybody?
You can wife everything she wants, isn't it?
Whatever you want, honey.
Amen.
Okay. That is a seasoned husband. Father husband right there. Good answer. We'll talk about the reality later. All right. What else?
Find the cheapest part.
Find the cheapest part? Oh, you're going to love this sermon. Who else? What else?
Make sure.
Come on, I ain't heard from the builder.
There's a good foundation.
Good foundation.
Okay.
Good foundation.
All right, so.
Solid ground. Man.
Yeah, you can't build on
solid ground.
Yeah, I don't
want to
do it.
Okay.
Y'all
been looking at the scripture too early. I shouldn't give you that scripture early, right? So, you and your spouse, you get the opportunity, you're going to build your dream home, or you're going to be single, you build your dream home. Okay, you can do that too. But so you have what? A fixed budget, right? Normally, nobody. Anybody in here millionaires? Y'all remember the tithing box on the way out. So we can build this other side over here. God's ready to do that. But so you have the design. I heard that. You have the plan. And all drawn up. And so then you find the right property. I heard that. And so now you need to do, all you need to do is find the right contractor. Right?
Right.
Build the house. Dante Rivers, he's giving his number out when he leaves, right? So, you got to find that right contractor, and You have this fixed budget, and so you start searching for these guys, these contractors, right, to do it. And everyone you come and talk with and give them your plan, your design and all, and every one of them's all just way over the budget that you want. Now, what do you do? Do you want to cut back on your dream house? Do you want to, you know, find a way to build it the way you want it? So, the story here I want to tell you, and so is that, well, I'll get ahead of myself. I'm going to check myself, all right? So, you continue to search, and you finally come against this one, come and find this one contractor. We'll call him Bob the Builder, okay? That's an inside joke. You had kids. Bob the Builder, all right? And Bob the Builder, he says, yeah, I can do this. I can build this house for you. Well, what about the budget? I mean, how cheap can you do it? And he says, well, I think I can build this, and it come in under budget. Okay? Glory, hallelujah. All great, right? Everything, yeah.
Oh, all right,
so it's on. All right, it's on. Here you go. You get all the things in order, and you order the supplies, and you get everything in order, and Bob the Builder, you find the property, and they break ground, and then things start happening, and then you're letting it just blossom, and it's coming, and then you and your spouse, you go over, and you all of a sudden, you give a couple weeks, and you go out there, and wow, here it is, the structure's up, and man, you got the siding on, and you know, everything looks good, and you go in the house, and the floor's down. We'll make it more than a couple weeks.
Okay.
Some builders can do it now. They're fast. Bob the Builder now.
Okay. Once they got the foundation in, they went.
So, Bob the Builder, here we go, and you're coming to the house, and you see the floor's done, and, you know, the subfloor and everything, and you walk through the house, and you go through the house. Everything looks great. You know, everything looks, and you're like, wow. You know, how can he do this, you know, on this budget, all at this fast? And so you go upstairs, everything's in order and all. And then you say, okay, you go to the basement. He leads you through the house and leads you down to the basement. And you go to the basement, and you're like, there's no foundation. What happens then? You have all this happy expectation, excitement, and everything is looks so great, and then you get to the basement. You're like, what in the world did you do? Right? And he begins to explain that in order to give you exactly what you wanted, we had to make some cutbacks. Just so happened this was the most expensive part, so we had to make some cutbacks. So, sensing your frustration, he says, well, come back in a few days, we'll show you. I'm going to have the state-of-the-art windows, try to build you back up. But what's the reality in all this? And would you care if it didn't have a foundation? Yeah.
It's a houseboat.
It's a houseboat. What is the first thing you feel?
Rick.
Crumble. What?
How
else? What do you feel like, though?
Frustrated.
Your money. Frustrated. What else? Disappointed. What else?
Scared. All this money I've been
angry.
In.
How about cheated?
Yes. Cheated.
Feel cheated, man.
You trusted
trusted in this Bob the Builder, and he, you know, and
he came so highly recommended.
Preposterous, isn't it? Would any of us ever consider hiring a builder like that?
No.
Of course not. Of course not. But the far more important question is, are you that builder this morning? What I want to challenge you with. Are you that builder this morning? When it comes to building our faith, Jesus warned us that many will build without a foundation. Near the beginning of his ministry, he told this parable. And look at it with me. Y'all see it when I get out of the way. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. This is the ESV version, but on the surface you see both men appear to have built well, right? Think about it. On the surface, both men appear to have built well.
On the outside, it looked real good.
On the outside, it looked real good. However, when the storms came, the strength of each man's foundation was truly tested and revealed for what it was. Now, let me read that again because I want you to get this. When the storm came, the strength of each man's foundation was truly tested and revealed for what it was. Can I tell you today, the body of Christ is the foolish man in a lot of places. We've not gone to the place where we're willing to let the foundation of God's Word build our life. We're not willing, in a lot of ways, to trust God in certain areas to build what He wants to build in our life. Why do you think that is?
Traditions of men.
Traditions of men could be. What else?
Fear.
Fear of what?
Failure.
Fear of failure. Okay, what else?
But he's not building what we want.
Ah.
Yeah.
There we go. Come on.
Yeah.
Don't want to change? Why don't we want to change?
Let's
go back to the word foolish. The foolish man, right? So, sometimes it's not all about how it looks or how well it's built, even. Right? Because Bob the Builder builds a nice house. He's Bob the Builder. He's known throughout the world. In this case, he's a known builder. So, it's not about how well it looks. Hey, what's the old saying? Put lipstick on a pig. Right? It's still a pig. You ain't never heard Doris look at it. You ain't never heard that?
That's right. You're not from the South.
That's right. Just because it looks good doesn't mean it's better. And listen to me, guys, gals. You can dress up all you want. You can come to church and say all the hallelujahs. You can go and out in the world and you can wear your tie and suit. But inside, if you didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ moving in your heart,
directing you through the Holy Spirit and guiding you into all truth, guess what? Your foundation is not solid. We have to understand that getting our foundation is the most important thing in our life. We have what we call a firm foundation class. Every time we try to do it in the church, very few go through it all the way. Why? Because commitment. It takes commitment, dedication, wanting change, wanting to let the Lord move in your heart, touch on places that don't feel good, and still trust God with them.
Yes.
Amen? Wow. Or old me, I don't know. Now, it's easy for us to assume we're the wise builders, right? But we shouldn't be so quick to do so. The difference between sand and rock is far more subtle than you may think. One is simply small particles of each other, right? Confirming to whatever press is pressed against it. Right? When you make concrete, when you make solid, there's certain things that come together. But it takes sand and aggregate rock with a lime and limestone mix. And when it gets the water, oh, that'll preach on its own. It comes together in something solid. And see, the Holy Spirit is what makes it solid. We hear in the Bible lots of times that the water is representation of the Holy Spirit. It flows. And so we got to understand there are certain things we can't leave out. We got to let God do the inner healing, the inner parts of what, yes, we become born again and we're a new creation in Him, but then everything needs to start changing into the image of Christ in our life. And I was thinking about this. I have an awesome father, okay, and I always looked up to him. I mean, I was always impressed by what he did. Hard worker, still hard worker, and all these things. And but he's a believer, but he's not in church because he was church hurt.
Yeah.
And then now he takes care of my mother who is sick. So, but he had a solid foundation. Can I tell you, at a young age, his mother took him to church. He went to church. And he understood what it meant to be Christ-like. So let me just say this in all honesty. If your father wasn't the best father, change it right now. Men in here, you can be the father that your father wasn't. Okay? You can be the godly man of God and the father that maybe your father wasn't. But if you're like me, you look to him and you say, that man was solid. We should look to the Heavenly Father and know that He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, it says. If our finances, we can trust Him with that. We can trust Him with anything in our life. But we got to understand that if we're internally not learning who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us, then guess what? We're like the shifting sand. It's going to eventually come out, whether or not you have a solid foundation or not. Me and Penny was thinking the other day about, we have a lot of people, and it seems like she was saying, made a comment that helped me think about this. And it seems like a couple years, people will come to church and they'll be solid. It's almost like a phase that happens. And then all of a sudden they disappear, you know, and I don't think I'm that bad of a preacher or whatever, but or a pastor, but the fact is, this isn't about me, it's about you. And it's about what kind of building you are for the Lord. You're the one supposed to build the church, not me. I'm supposed to preach and pastor the church, okay? And so we got to learn. That's why Jesus told, he said, go and make disciples, right? Teaching them. And that's where the church is failing sometimes. We've got to have a solid core foundation in the body of Christ. And what is the body of Christ? Us. Amen.
We have to learn to be the church, not just go to church.
Amen.
And when these things are good, it's hard to spot them sometimes, though, when we're struggling. And we end up looking to God for only what we want, for what makes us feel good, but neglect looking to Him for what we need.
We
end up looking to God for what we want, for what makes us feel good, right? And so, but neglect looking to Him for what we need, which is a transformed life that conforms to His image.
Amen.
We got to have a transformation. It says, repent of your sins and be converted. Acts 3:19. That your sins will be blotted out. That makes sense. What does a converter do? Changes things. It converts, right? AC/DC, not the band, right? So then, what does it say? Once you've repented, if it's true repentance, it says godly sorrow brings true repentance. It's not feeling bad that you got caught. Okay. It's godly sorrow that you grieved Holy Spirit living inside of you. Right? You grieved Him and you're sorry about it. You're the sorrowness of like this total submission of not wanting to do it again. Alright? So that it is, and God knows the intent of our heart. Some people say, why do I keep doing this? Why? Well, we have the sin nature, like Paul said, right? But it's in being empowered more over and over, getting in the Word. I bet if I challenge, I don't want to see hands because I don't want to embarrass anybody. How many read the Bible yesterday? How many read the Bible the day before? The day before that, and the day before that. Man, I got some good. Some going, yeah. And some, oh, I'm not saying this to convince you. That's His job. But the fact is, if we talked about this other day in the armor of God, if we leave this out, guess what? We're going into battle without a sword. I don't know about you. As a warrior, you need a sword. You're going to fight somebody or several with swords, and sometimes the demons are many, then you need the sword. You need the sword of God and all the rest of the armor. But so, when we do that, oh, when we look to Him for what we need, we end up with, if we end up looking to God for only what we want, that's when we build the faulty foundation. Faulty foundation. When things are going good, it's hard to spot the difference. What do I mean by that, somebody? When things are going good, it's hard to spot the difference. Groups are deceiving. I know nobody in here is doing that, but groups are deceiving, aren't they? I know a lot of times, anybody ever heard the story about the man on the front porch and the preacher and the church and all the bum off the street and stuff?
No,
that's a long story, but the story is that you can be entertaining angels and not even know it, right? That's the word of God, not mine.
You can be entertaining demons and not even know it.
Yeah.
Very good, exactly. So you can look good on the outside. The Antichrist, that spirit, he does. He comes in deception. He comes as the false Christ, right? He will come again that way, be released from his bondage one day, and the world will be fooled. You go into Revelation, and you get into it, and the end times, that will happen. There'll be many deceived, it says, even to the elect. So let me ask you this. If even the elect people that know God and that really going or God's warriors, whatever, if they can be deceived, what do you think their house is built on? We've got to ask ourselves, where's our foundation? Is it faulty? And so when things are good, it's hard to spot these differences. But the storm came and the rest assured the storms will come in your life. You can bet. They may have come this morning on the way to church. They may have come yesterday. They'll come tomorrow. Your foundation will reveal for what they truly are. A lot of times when God starts moving and wants you to move, because you can get like a tree planted by the water, the old song goes, I will not be moved. Now that's a good song if you're not being moved in the Lord, but if the Lord's trying to get you to move and you're like dug in right here, guess what? God says, okay, well, dig on in there a little bit. See how that works. It keeps working for you. There comes a time when you've got to let the Spirit move you. And you've got to be led by the Spirit of God. So when that time comes, will you have built on sand or having merely listened to Jesus' word, or will you have built a solid foundation on a rock, having not only listened to Jesus' word, but embraced them in the way you live? I'll even add act. There's nothing worse than seeing a Christian act like a heathen out there in the world, and then go to church and act like amen, oh, holier than now. And it's happening. Why does the world not want to go to church? Why do people not really want a part of Christianity?
Because Christians are making us look bad, the real church. And there's not very many real churches around here.
To be a true Christian is too hard for most people.
Say it again.
To be a true Christian is too hard for most people.
That is very true. I think Ronnie's also going, though, people make excuses and say, I don't want to go to church because they're all... You know what? Let me speak something right here, okay? There's a fine line when we talk about hypocrites, because who in here is a born again saved Christian? Who in here gets it all right? All right. So it's very easy to call other people hypocrites.
Yes, it is, but we're not judges.
We are not the judges, correct, but I just want you guys to realize that when we're talking about hypocrites, we're not saying you're a hypocrite, okay? Well, you're not a hypocrite if you're trying to serve God, all right, and you fall, you fail, you're seeking God, all right? So I just want to clarify this. And we also have to be very careful about calling someone else a hypocrite, because they're just like us. Many of them are just like us. They either don't know any better, they've been taught a lie, they've believed a lie, or they are incapable of doing what is right now because of something in their life.
That's very good. That's exactly right. Now listen, today, let me say this, that she went there. What sin to me might not be sin to you.
Amen.
Today.
Why?
Why is that?
Because God may not have convicted me of
yes.
what convicted
exactly
you of.
Exactly right.
Yes.
So you got to understand, this is where people get array and off the track, and they start looking at other people. We should never look to other people. We need to look here. We need to look at the building. We got to look at the building, and we got to work on us and quit worrying about what Sister Sally or Brother Bob is doing. We've got to work on us, you know, and let God show us. And when we get to that place, guess what? Or they get to that place, they're going to figure out that's sin. Let the Holy Spirit do what He does. But again, it's like I heard, Christianity's hard, this, that, and the other. Yes, it can be at times, but it's really easy in a way. Because is salvation, did it cost you your life?
My life begins, not my life, but my everything.
That's right.
It cost him what? Everything. He laid his life willingly down for you. You got to understand, Christianity is by faith, and we're saved by grace through faith, right? Not of ourself. It's a gift of God, it says in Ephesians. So, you feel cheated sometimes, like this couple here. Understandably so, right? The matter has sold you on features of the house while ignoring the most critical part, the foundation. The scenario is preposterous. But far more important, the question here again, what are you building on? And instead of embracing, in the end, in other words, don't build on a foundation of sand. Sand is not going to work. It'll work for a period of time. You can shore it up, right, Dante? You can shore it up, and you can actually even make it hard. You ever build a sand castle? Anybody on the... Oh, it's beautiful sometimes if you're a craftsman, right? You build cups and make your little castle.
Yeah,
that thing's beautiful, ain't it? Put a little water with it. But it isn't enough.
But it's almost impossible to build a foundation after the house is already built.
That's good.
That'll preach
right
there.
That's right. You've got to tear it all down. You've got to start all over.
Jack it all up.
That's right. Or jack it all up, which is very seldom done anymore.
Yeah, because then still everything else is
going to
crack.
That's right. There, all your walls, if you got sheetrock in there, I know I've moved houses before. We moved one down in Alabama, and 6 feet. We had to pick the whole house up and put it on these rails, these big long rails, and these little skates, like roller skates, and roll that house over 6 feet just to get it onto another lot. Now, that was a chore. But they had it's on the beach down there, okay, on the coast. But that water, you could take, and they'd pressurize the water, and the poles would just sink down. And they become hard. But that foundation is hard once it gets on down in there and put it on them poles. But it still isn't hard enough. One day it still starts moving around. It can. And there are cracks all in the corners and on the where the doors are adjusted and all that. So, yeah, you can do that, but it's backwards, isn't it? So what we want to start with is the foundation now. Excuse me, I'm having throat problems today. So instead of in the end, are you cheating yourself by building something that will not last? That's what I want to ask you this morning. You're cheating yourself when you're not building something solid here. When you're in and out of church, when you're not going into a Bible study, you're not coming to preach, and you're not doing the steps, the 12 steps. Some of you are in CR. If you're not cheating nobody, you're cheating yourself.
It's true.
Right? And you've got to understand, how many like cheating yourself?
No.
Not most, right? Because we're a lot about ourselves. What it comes down also is you're cheating God.
Mm-hmm. Oh my.
You're cheating God. You're cheating on God. Now I'm going to go here. I usually don't. But you've got to understand what tithes and offerings even mean. Because if God's blessing you, and you've got work, and you've got things, you're getting money and all these things, then how does God's church keep going if you're not obedient with your money also? Well, getting quiet in here now. You know what I'm saying, guys? If there's nobody who's willing to do what the Word of God says, not mine, but you give your 10% or your God says give more than that, whatever it is, I don't know. But guess what? You're cheating yourself. You're not cheating God. In a way, you are. You're cheating the church. But yet, the fact is, you're robbing yourself. Why? Somebody tell me.
When you tithe, it's supposed to come back tenfold.
That's right. pressed down, shaken together, and running.
That's right. Yep. And so,
can I also say something else? And this is something that I've shared with some of the people. And I'm just being honest and real in church. Now, you guys know Ronnie and I have never taken a red cent for a cent. We volunteer. We've never taken anything. All right? But still, you have rent, you've got light, you've got gas, all that stuff. When everybody comes to church, everybody thinks somebody else is going to pay for it. I mean, I'm just being honest. Everybody thinks, well, I don't need to pay. Someone else will pay for it. The problem is when everybody thinks that.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And if this is your house, if this is your house, then you help take care of the house. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's almost like, that's right, this is your house. And so, and I'm going to share one quick thing since we're here. When Ronnie and I were at another church, we were very unhappy about how things were going. I'm just going to be very honest, okay? And so I had stopped tithing. And I've never in my life not tithed, as I've been adult. I've never not tithed. And things started going on in other areas, and we had a rental house, and the renter did not pay the rent and was squatting in it. And I said, Lord, I said, please do something. Either have her pay or move her out to one or the other, but she can't squat in there. She can't stay there and not pay. And he said, why not? That's what you're doing. He said, you're squatting in there. He said, you're calling into your home. You are going there every week. And you are not paying your tithe. Settled it for me.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was just how it was me. And I did that. I not only did that tithe, I also, he had me give gifts to the pastor. Pastor and what? So, it's your house. You're called to help take care of it.
You know, and it tells a lot about our intent of our heart. And because we all know this, what it says about the love of money is the root of all evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it tells the intent of our heart when you selfishly give and you expect nothing back. That's what the definition of love is, and giving of yourself for the benefit of others. And, you know, the house can't grow but so much,
mm-hmm.
You know? And it's what you. This is what this is about. What are you willing to invest in your life, okay? What are you willing to surrender to God, and or is it just a little bit, just enough to get by? That's not a solid foundation. There's a crack in your foundation, and that thing may fall one day. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, then we'll close. But I want to talk to you. Isaiah 28:16 says, so that is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. You know, what is he talking about there in Isaiah? What? This is a prophetic word from Isaiah. That's exactly right. The stone is Jesus. As Psalmist said in Psalm 8:22, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. It's talking about Jesus. Jesus quoted the same thing in Matthew 21:42. You want to bring it in a New Testament, New Covenant. Jesus said to them, have you never read this scripture? He said, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in one's eyes. You see, when you make Jesus the cornerstone, he is the solid corner of the whole foundation in your life. Foundations have to be strong with the sands and storms of life. It's the only way that you're going to stand. And anybody, the other day I was talking, I think, to John about this. Anybody know where you start on the corner? When you start on the corner, when you're setting a foundation, you've got the plumb bob one corner. They start on one corner, and they get that thing exactly level. All right. And they'll use that corner for the rest, all the way around the foundation. Now, if they didn't use a level line, or now it's lasers and things, or back in the day with the plumb bob line and those kind of things, you guess what happens? You can be off just a quarter of an inch or so on that one corner. And the further you go up, the more everything goes off. You go up 12 feet, you're off way more than a quarter inch. You're off nearly 6 inches or more, and you get all the way around. Can y'all get a hold of this?
Yes.
If you're off just that little bit, it don't take much for Satan to come and steal the seed, okay, in your life. He wants to destroy your the work that God started in your life, and he'll be the one to get you off track. Now, in that, by the time you get all the way around that house, everything in it's going to be off.
Mm-hmm.
Every wall. Well, you're like, what in the world? You go in there and you start saying, that door's crooked. That window won't shut right. None of the things that look good on the outside matters.
Come on
anymore in that house. It's the same thing with us. If you ain't got the foundation, if you ain't got it right on the inside, guess what? You're not going to make it out there. You're going to be the one disappearing in 2 years. You're going to be the one that all of a sudden everybody said, see there, I told you it wasn't real. I'm preaching hard now, but I'm telling you, we've got to understand what it means to be a good, good father. To be that man of God, to be the woman of God you're called to be, you have to have the cornerstone. He has to be the one. Now, Matthew 16, I'm going to take you there and close. I've got 2-3 minutes. But y'all didn't set that clock, did you?
Yes, we did.
Y'all went too far.
That gap in the leeway.
Matthew 16, I'm going to go ahead with lack of time. Jesus being tested right here, okay, by the Pharisees. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came up and tested him, asked him to show them a sign from heaven. I always want a sign from heaven, right? Show us something. But he answered and said to them, when is it evening? You say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatened. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah. What does that mean? I'm going to preach on that again. I've got a sermon on that. What's the sign of Jonah?
It's there for 3 days.
Amen. 3 days he's in the bellies of the whale. See, Jesus was the Word. 3 days in the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
And so these Pharisees and Sadducees, they were testing him and asking him to show them a sign. And you got to understand, the sign was right in front of them. He was there, the cornerstone. He was there. But they couldn't see it. Why do you think they couldn't see it?
Blinded by hatred.
Blinded by hatred, okay.
Also expecting the Messiah to come and be something totally different.
Yeah, they didn't expect him to come the way Jesus came.
That's right. That's right.
He was born in a manger.
They also wanted to keep doing things their own way. They didn't want to have to change.
They didn't look the way they wanted.
Zechariah prophesies from Zechariah 10:4, from Judah will come the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, from him every ruler. You see, it was already prophesied. They just didn't want to see it. They didn't want to deal with it. They liked the way they liked things, okay? They didn't want to see the chief cornerstone. Y'all have heard the story of Job, right? A lot of you. In Job 38, and I'm not going to go deep into it, but the Lord spoke to Job out of a storm that came. And this young man actually prophesied to Job after he had sat and
walked around a while and had these other three men there that was, you know, they wasn't telling him, you know, hey, quit being a baby, all that kind of stuff. I hate to say it like that. But then this one young man stands up and really just comes out with it and tells him. He said, and then the Lord speaks to, in 38, he says, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Remember our lessons, words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, he says. I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marks off its dimensions? Surely you know. Exclamation point. Who stretches a measure line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted in joy. Sang to God, sang in praise of his name, extol him who rides on the cloud, rejoice before him. His name is the Lord, a father to the fatherless, a defender of wisdom is God in his holy dwelling. Psalm 68, 4 and 5. Isaiah said this in 64:8, yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the works of your hands. Proverbs 4:1 says, listen, my sons, to a father's instructions. Pay attention and gain understanding. Proverbs 23:4, the father of righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. So today, on this Father's Day, can you ask yourself the question, what building are you? What building are you? Are you allowing God to move in your life? Let's close our eyes. Are you willing this morning to surrender it all to him and say, Lord, I tried to build this building on my own. I need you. Sometimes it's like the potter in the story had to smush it all down and start over. But if you're here this morning and you want to make him the chief cornerstone, Jesus to be your solid rock, over in the book of Matthew, the same bunch had questioned Jesus on over there. And then he says, whom do you say that I am? And none of his disciples could, one say you're this, one say you're that. They didn't answer because they just called him rabbi. But one guy, his name was Simon. Simon said, got a revelation from on high, and he says, you are the Christ. And then Jesus said, Simon, you couldn't, I'm paraphrasing, get this, but from heaven, he changed his name to Petra. And that means, then the Greek word, that means Peter, the rock. He wants to change you this morning from the inside out and wants you to become that father, that Christian, that woman of God this morning if you'll just ask him. If you got to get just smushed down on the potter's wheel this morning, let it happen and start all over, because you need your foundation to be strong. You need the Lord Jesus to be everything. I pray this morning, Lord, that every man and woman in this room would surrender to you everything. God, not just hold back some of it, not cut corners because it costs something. But Lord, they'd be all in this morning. I pray that, Lord, that we could all of us be open this morning and honest, surrender to you.
If that's you this morning, I want you to just raise your hand to heaven, not to me or anybody else. Hands are going up. Hands are going up. Thank you, Lord. You're touching you're touching hearts, and God, that they're gonna make them the men and women of God this morning. You've ordained them before the foundation of the world. Now, Father, let us walk out of this place today rekindled with a fresh fire. Holy Spirit, be strong in each man and woman's life. In Jesus' name. Father, this morning I pray over Trella and her traveling. She asked for prayer this morning. I pray we have several out of town. I pray for traveling mercies even on our group here today, Father, as they go about their business today and Father's Day and resting in you. But most of all, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we can call on you, Father God. And Lord, you love us. And despite who we are, you forgive us for our sins. You're faithful and just. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Father. If there's anyone here today, Father, at least here, let no guilt or condemnation be on their heart. I pray this morning, Lord God, you would release everyone. Release their finances, Lord. Bless them for their tithes and their offering. Lord, speak to their hearts on every aspect of where their ministry goes from this point on. And God, in life, and in Lord, and in the body of Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.